української культури «Гайдамаки». Наш меседж простий. Живи і не вийбуйся. Їж і не обляпайся. Люби брата свого, як себе самого, а ще більше Бога. Отже, містерія, а з нею і життя продовжується. На сцені «Гайдамаки! Правдиві воїни світла! Світла! Світла!»
Popular folk rock group from Ukraine called Haidamake, and that song was Center Ukrainskoi Kultury, Ukraine Calling. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою, як звичайно, з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-Macquarie, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, as well Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, and a Konishka Corner book review. And this is a review of a new Christmas book by Canadian author and translator and Ukrainian folklore specialist Orisha Trach. And I know her well, and I often refer to her as a walking, talking Ukrainian encyclopedia. And her book is making a big splash in Ukrainian-Canadian circles this season, so stay tuned for all of that. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, Kozak System from Ukraine, and this group will be the headliner group at the 2016 Dauphin Ukrainian Festival that takes place at the end of July, beginning of August every year. So here they are now with a song that's pretty seasonal, especially here on the west coast of Canada, on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, British Columbia, where I live. We had snow yesterday. It's rare. But we've got a bit of a white Christmas, I think, in store for us. So here is Kozak System with a very seasonal song for a lot of people in the Northern Hemisphere. It is called Snih, or Snow.
Печалі, що тобі до моєї тривоги? Тихі човни, що стоять на причалі, і вода розбиває пороги. Що тобі до моєї любові? Що тобі до цієї розлуки? Якщо на місячному серпові з'являються знаки, лунають звуки. Твоєї тиші тримався за те, що було зі мною, але ніжність твоя така невтішна, і сніги летять над твоєю зимою, і блукає світло твоїми устами, і твої сновидіння такі примарні, і коли ти спиш, безнадійно зникають північні птахи в золотому тумані, але на всьому буде лежати сніг. І скільки би я не говорив про щастя, вертатись до тебе все, що я справді міг.
почуватися довше, ніж зазвичай.
Проростає втіха, темна вода під важкими мостами спиняється, невагома і тиха. Тому що тобі до останніх трамваїв, що тобі до моїх освічень, це для нас із тобою та щенко триває цей нічний безкінечний січень. І хай це тепло зринає і виростає. Твій перший сніг, я завжди буду лишати твої міста, я завжди буду повертатися в них, але на всьому буде лежати сніг. Скільки би я не говорив прощай, вертатись до тебе все, що я справді міг. Щоб залишатися довше, ніж зазвичай, ніж зазвичай. Ніж зазвичай, ніж зазвичай, ніж зазвичай.
Weekend passes for Canada's National Ukrainian Festival are now available for only $80. CNUF 2016, July 29th to 31st, Dauphin, Manitoba. Call 1-877-474-2683 or visit cnuf.ca.
Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Small arms, heavy machine guns and grenade launchers, just some weapons used by combined Russian separatist forces to fire at the Ukrainian army. Almost 50 attacks were recorded overnight into Saturday morning. These occurred west of Donetsk, along the Azov Sea coastal village of Shirokina and other places on the front line. The Ukrainian Army's press service for operations in East Ukraine reported the ceasefire violations. Meanwhile, the OSCE reported Friday that significantly fewer reports of attacks had been recorded compared to previous days.
In another sign of the failing ceasefire in eastern Ukraine, a Grad rocket has landed just a kilometer away from a residential area in the eastern village of Zoryane.
Слышу тоже бабах, окна летят. Ми быстрее берем детей в одеяле, подвал спускаем. Тут еще раз бабах, на кухне все сыпется.
As per the Minsk ceasefire agreement, the Soviet-era Grad rocket systems were supposed to be pulled back over a dozen kilometers away from the line of contact between government troops and combined Russian insurgent forces. Reports of Russian-backed militants not adhering to the agreement and using heavy and mid-caliber weaponry have been emerging for months. Residents from Zorane are now surveying the damage. I had a gate, but there's nothing left there now. No tree, no barn. My cat was also killed. Kids used to play with him. International observers from the OSCE have visited the scene. They confirmed that the warhead, which can weigh up to nearly 40 pounds and travel a distance of up to 13 miles, came from territory controlled by the Russian-backed militants, one representative said. The Joint Control Center determined the Grad came from Staromikhailivka. This territory is currently under the control of the militants from the Donetsk region. Meanwhile, a new UN report suggests that more than 9,000 people have been killed in the conflict in East Ukraine so far.
The Ukrainian army says militant forces again launched attacks overnight into Sunday morning. The fighting was reported near here, not far away from Mariupol. Weapons forbidden under the Minsk peace deal were used against government troops, according to a spokesman. That included 120mm mortars. Gunfire was also exchanged not far from the cities of Donetsk and Artemivsk. Meanwhile, the situation in Luhansk region remains relatively calm. Ukrainian authorities in the area say they arrested a man who had been revealing the location of Ukrainian troop deployments online.
Russian President Putin has admitted to Russia's military presence in East Ukraine. Speaking at his annual question and answer session for the media, Putin said, "We never said there were no people there who were carrying out certain tasks, including in the military sphere." Several thousand Russian troops remain based in East Ukraine. Kyiv, Western capitals, and NATO officials say there can be no permanent peace until Russia withdraws its forces and returns to Ukraine full control over its border. Despite incontrovertible proof, the Kremlin has always denied that it had sent its army to invade East Ukraine. The conflict there erupted after Russia annexed Crimea, sent special forces to seize government buildings in the east, and established a hybrid army of so-called volunteers and regular armed forces to seize and hold on to eastern territories of the country.
Polish, Lithuanian, Latvian and Estonian defense ministers have condemned Russia's aggression against Ukraine.
Russia's aggression towards Ukraine is not only, in fact, against Ukraine, but it is against the 21st century values, against democracy, against freedom of choice, and it cannot be accepted.
The comments come as the ministers sign a joint statement with Ukraine's defense minister, Stepan Poltorok, on further cooperation in the defense sector. Poltorok described the agreement as a crucial moment in the history of Ukraine's armed forces. The Baltics, Poland and other states in the area have been on high alert since Russia invaded and annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in March 2014. More than 9,000 people have been killed since Russia began their invasion of Ukraine.
Crimean Tatar leader Mustafa Gemelyev has claimed that Russia has delivered nuclear weapons to the Ukrainian peninsula it annexed in March 2014. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov suggested last year it was legitimate to deploy weapons there, and President Putin said he would use nuclear weapons if Ukraine and its allies tried to take it back. Earlier this year, NATO and Ukraine voiced concern about Russian statements about the possible future stationing of nuclear weapons there. Ukraine gave up the world's third largest nuclear weapons stockpile between 1994 and 1996 as part of the Budapest Memorandum. Ukraine agreed to give up the weapons in return for security guarantees from Russia, the UK, the United States, China and France that the territorial integrity and political independence of Ukraine would be protected. Ukraine's security service, the SBU, has released footage of what it says was a special operation conducted this week in East Ukraine. It says that the action was taken in Krasnoharivka, a government-controlled town some 30 kilometers from Donetsk, which is occupied by Russian-backed militants. According to the SBU, more than 600 officers, including members of the National Guard and the armed forces, took part in the operation. 85 people believed to have connections with the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics were reportedly detained. This comes following the release of a new report from the United Nations, which said that arms and fighters are still pouring into militant-held areas of eastern Ukraine from Russia, and that the death toll from 20 months of fighting between the militants and Ukrainian forces now exceeds 9,100. A blast in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv is being treated as a criminal act by local authorities. Around 4 a.m. local time, near a five-story residential building in the center of the city, the explosion took place. It was reportedly caused by a grenade thrown by an unknown assailant. No injuries have been reported. An investigative team was dispatched to the scene. Police are now studying surveillance video footage. Authorities have in the past said that such acts are aimed at destabilizing the situation in Ukraine, where a Russian-backed insurgency is continuing in the east of the country.
Automatic weapons, grenades, thousands of rounds of ammunition, and parts of explosive devices have been uncovered in an anti-terrorist operation in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. Ukrainian security forces report breaking up a Russian sabotage group operating out of Kyiv and other major Ukrainian cities. I would like to remind you that six members of an insurgent group were detained last night in Kyiv and Kharkiv. One more resisted and was killed. I would also like to draw attention to the fact that three out of those who were detained by us are citizens of the Russian Federation. One suspected member of the insurgent group was killed and seven have been detained during raids in Kyiv and Kharkiv on Wednesday. The man who was killed is suspected to be the leader of the group as well as a member of a Russian special operations unit. Russian special services are intensifying their activities in peaceful cities, trying to destabilize the situation and trying to show that Ukrainian law enforcement bodies and Ukrainian authorities are not able to protect their citizens. But I assure you that this is not true. We will react sharply and very quickly to any information about the activities of insurgent groups, about preparation for terrorist acts on the territory of our country. One Alpha Security Forces officer who was critically injured during the shootout in Kyiv had died. Another officer had been injured during the raid against the reconnaissance group. Ukrainian Security Service has conducted a number of similar raids on sabotage groups around the country. In June, Special Forces arrested three people in Kharkiv suspected of committing terror acts in the country after receiving training in Russia. A man has been arrested in the Ukraine port city of Odessa after threatening to blow himself up. The ex-military man is also suspected in the murder of an elderly couple in the Donetsk region. Odessa police officers reported that the suspect had strapped explosives to his body and threatened to blow up his apartment block. Negotiations with him lasted more than an hour, and then he gave himself up to the police. Supposedly, he had the grenades with him for fishing purposes. After negotiations, he gave five grenades to the police. No casualties were reported as a result of the arrest.
Electricity has been returned to the Crimean Peninsula, but only for 3 weeks. So says Mustafa Jamilev, a Ukrainian MP and leader of the Crimean Tatars, the group which has led the energy blockade of the Russian-occupied peninsula. Jamilev says that if Russia does not recognize that the territory belongs to Ukraine and does not sign documents to that effect, the lights will go out again. He says if Russia accepts the conditions, they might sign, but knowing the habits of Russia, they won't do it. Electricity was cut off to Crimea last month after activists destroyed power lines located on the Ukrainian mainland. Since then, some power has returned, but the Russian-occupied peninsula remains only partially online. The Crimean Tatars have said that they want the Ukrainian government to pass legislation officially halting the supply of energy to the Black Sea territory, which was seized by the Kremlin in March 2014.
Ukraine will suspend trade with Crimea in 30 days' time. According to Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, restoring electricity to the peninsula will be a separate issue. According to the decision of the cabinet ministers of Ukraine, which, in accordance with the law on the Crimean Free Economic Zone, will come into force within 30 days since its adoption, and in accordance with customs regulations, all supplies of work, goods, and services from the temporary occupied territory to the other territory of Ukraine and/or from the territory of Ukraine to the temporarily occupied territory of Ukraine, except for personal belongings of citizens, socially important foods, and humanitarian assistance, are banned. Crimea, annexed by Russia last year, is suffering blackouts after four pylons that supplied the peninsula were blown up in November, worsening diplomatic tensions between Ukraine and Russia. Russian President Putin has ordered the suspension of Russia's free trade zone with Ukraine from January 1st. Putin said the decision was because of extraordinary circumstances affecting the interests and economic security of Russia. Meanwhile, European Union officials are due in Kyiv to finalize the creation of their own free trade agreement by the same date.
Russian actor Serhiy Anisimov is in court for the fourth time this year, seeking to obtain political asylum in Ukraine. Anisimov has been living in the southeastern Ukrainian city of Odessa for over 2 years. The 44-year-old says he cannot return to Russia after having protested along with thousands others in Ukraine's pro-EU demonstrations, which began in 2013. In the near future, my main goal is to get Ukrainian citizenship. Anisimov is best known for his one-time gigs on several Russian TV shows, where his roles ranged from cop to criminal mastermind. Anisimov says his harsh criticism of the Kremlin's aggressive policy towards Ukraine is precisely why he cannot return to Russia. The 44-year-old actor says he will be thrown in jail if he goes home. So far, Ukraine's migration service has denied citizenship not only to him but also to dozens of other Russians who took part in the 2013 protests.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Ukraine, won't support Ukraine, won't support Ukraine, won't support Ukraine.
A new song released early in December, Vse Svet, World Support Ukraine, explaining why the world should not ignore and thus facilitate Russian aggression against Ukraine. Performed by London-based artist and activist Diana Mess, lyrics by Ukrainian musician Andrew Loboda with the band Horta. Up next, a popular song about Ukrainian unity in the face of unprovoked Russian aggression by Shablya Life, Bratya Ukrainsi, Ukrainian Brothers.
Любі мої діти, мила мамо і тату, я йду на війноньку нашу землю захищати. Не плачте за мною, якщо в полі згину, все віддам за любоненьку нашу Україну. Єднаємося, браття, годину. Нехай ворог знає, ми за Україну. Бого душу нашу віддамо єдину, за нашою землю священну Україну. Бого душу нашу віддамо єдину, за нашу священну Україну. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Emelyankovych was born on the 20th of August 1884 in the picturesque southern Galician village of Kosmoch in the Carpathian Mountains. The family was full of priests. His father was a parish priest and his mother was the daughter of a parish priest. After completing his studies in Lviv, he embarked on the road of priesthood. He spent 6 years in Rome as a seminarian in Greek Catholic College of St. Sergius and Bacchus and as a student at the University Urbania of the Congregate of the Propagation of Faith. In 1922, after the Polish-Ukrainian War ended, Father Emelyan was appointed to the parish of Peremyshlyane, a town which, like most in Galicia, was composed primarily of three nationalities – Jews, Poles, and Ukrainians. Throughout the interwar years, Father Emelyan developed a vibrant ministry that included a rich liturgical life, organized cultural activity, and multifaceted social outreach. With the arrival of the Nazis, the persecution of Jews began immediately. One day the Germans threw firebombs into a synagogue in Peremyshlyane, closed the doors, and surrounded the building with soldiers. Representatives of the Jewish community ran to the Kovach house to seek help and find sanctuary with the Greek Catholic priest. Father Emelyan immediately ran to the synagogue. In perfect German and with decisive moral outrage, he ordered the soldiers to desist. The Germans were so shocked by the courageous priest that they dispersed. Father Emelyan rushed to the doors of the synagogue and began pulling the terrorized Jewish congregants from the flames. In 1942, the Germans created a ghetto for Jews in Peremyshlyane. From there, they were deported to death camps. The Greek Catholic pastor began organizing different strategies for harboring Jews. It is not known how many Jews Father Emelyan hid in different places or how many he kept alive by organizing the delivery of food to their hiding places. His reputation as a reliable defender of Jews spread rapidly. Many members of the Jewish community began turning to Father Emelyan with a request that he baptize them in the hope that this would increase their chances for survival. On the 30th of December 1942, Father Kovach was arrested. The Gestapo transported him to Lviv, where he was held and tortured in the prison on Lonskoho Street. Despite the brutalization that he endured in prison, the priest of 30 years with experience in every possible type of pastoral situation welcomed the calling to become a spiritual father in a new context, ministering in the notorious Nazi death camp Majdanek. With remarkable convictions and expressions of devotion, personal freedom and spiritual fulfillment, Father Emelyan Kovach died on March the 25th of 1944, 3 months before the liberation of the Majdanek camp on July the 23rd, 1944. Some 80,000 people were killed in the camp over 34 months, including about 59,000 Jews. For many prisoners, Blessed Emelyan Kovach was their pastor. Today he bears the title Pastor of Majdanek. On January the 9th of 1999, the Jewish Council of Ukraine proclaimed him a Righteous of Ukraine. On April the 24th, 2009, the Synod of Bishops of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church solemnly proclaimed Blessed Priest, Martyr, Emelyan Kovach, Patron of Priests of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. This is Renata Ganenets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, Shalom!
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Early bird weekend passes for Canada's National Ukrainian Festival are now available for only $80. CNUF 2016, July 29th to 31st, Dauphin, Manitoba. Call 1-877-474-2683 or visit cnuf.ca.
Вислухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And definitely Christmas is around the corner, no question about that. And in Ukrainian tradition, though, the pre-Christmas is not nearly as frenzied as it is in mainstream Western society. It's a little more downplayed, and then everything kind of breaks loose on Christmas proper and goes for a month after. But one of the things that is pretty exciting for little kids is St. Nicholas Day, and that is a few weeks before Christmas. And, of course, St. Nicholas Day on the Gregorian calendar was December the 6th, and now it's the Julian calendar, it's on December 19th, which is just a couple of days away. So, of course, it's Christmas, so Ukrainians do everything twice because of the two calendars. So let's start over again then with Saint Nicholas. And that was a delightful little group of kids singing a song called Isho Mikolai, talking about Saint Nick going from house to house and dispensing presents. So let's hear now a review of a book by my good friend Orisha Trach, who has written all about Ukrainian Christmas traditions, and I bet you there's something about St. Nicholas Day in there. Welcome to Knizhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knizhka Corner, we will be discussing Orisha Trach's new book, First Star I See Tonight, Ukrainian Christmas Traditions. Orisha Trach explores the origins, rituals, and cultural significance of Ukrainian Christmas traditions in her first book, First Star I See Tonight. This book includes a number of articles about Ukrainian Christmas celebrations in Winnipeg and Manitoba since the first immigration to Canada 125 years ago. It is the first in-depth English-language book on Ukrainian Christmas traditions and will definitely be of interest to Ukrainian families throughout the world. In her preface, Tsach invites readers to join me on this journey of discovering and exploring the mysteries, the symbolism, and the meaning of all that Ukrainian Christmas encompasses. The first star I see tonight begins with a discussion about the importance of tradition in Ukrainian life. The writer asks several important questions. Why are Ukrainians so traditional? Are traditions important? And is modern man immune to these sentimental traditions? Her answers will stir up memories for readers both young and old. Ukrainian readers will remember celebrations of Shabbat, Christmas Eve, and Velikdeng, Easter. Non-Ukrainian readers will recall their own traditions as they discover the historical origins of Ukrainian Christmas traditions. In the first chapter, Origins, Tsach describes the complex historical realities of Ukrainian life. She explores traditions dating back to the Neolithic period, from 7,000 to 2,500 BC, during the Tripilian period of Ukraine's history. She also bluntly states that these traditions prove the existence of a separate Ukrainian nation. Today's Ukrainian Christmas traditions have adapted to new conditions. The descendants of Ukrainian immigrants in both North and South America now use social media to pass along their favorite Ukrainian recipes and cooking tips. Ukrainian traditions from various parts of Ukraine have blended with local North and South American traditions. The subsequent chapters of Tsach's book include Ukrainian Dreamtime, the earliest traditions, Kolode and Shtedrivke, Svyata Vecheria, the very extended family, and new and old traditions in a new place. The final chapter explores what a Ukrainian Christmas looks like in the Tsach family in Winnipeg today. The greatest strength of this book is its visual appeal. It is simply a beautiful book. Readers who pick it up will be attracted to the illustrations, photographs, and layout. The pictures include historical photographs of Ukrainian Christmas celebrations, as well as current celebrations both in Ukraine and in North America. It would be a great gift. The research and wealth of information provided by Tsach will fascinate both Ukrainian and non-Ukrainian readers. They will discover a culture which is both strong and vibrant. There is an extensive bibliography for further research. However, readers who are looking for Christmas recipes will be disappointed because this book focuses on traditions, not recipe lists. Perhaps the most poignant section of this book is the final chapter written by Tsach's son, Ruslan, who tells readers, "Christmas, no matter when you celebrate, is about friends and family." Orisha Paschak Tsach was born in Germany and raised in New Jersey. Her parents arrived there as refugee displaced persons after World War II. She graduated from George Washington University with a degree in political science, but has lived in Winnipeg, Manitoba since 1968. Orisha has worked as a writer, translator, consultant, and speaker on various Ukrainian issues, and has lectured across North America, Australia, and Ukraine. As well as translating 10 books from Ukrainian into English, she has written numerous articles for Canadian and American publications, including the Globe and Mail, Winnipeg Free Press, and the Ukrainian Weekly. In 2013, she received the Osvita Foundation Award for her contributions to the Ukrainian community. In 2014, Orisha was awarded the Shevchenko Foundation Kobzara Scholarship to the Humber College Creative Writing Course. First star I see tonight, Ukrainian Christmas Traditions, is available at Kuta Uma, McNally Robinson Booksellers, and Yevshan.
Thanks, Myra.
Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Ой, хто, хто, ой, хто, хто, Миколая любить, Миколаю служить. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла.
Ой, хто, хто, Миколая любить, ой, хто, хто, Миколаю служить.
Тому святий Миколай, на всякий час помагай, Миколаю. Ой, хто, хто спішить твої двори, того ти на землі і в морі. Все хорониш від напасті, не даєш йому пропасти, Миколаю. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла-ла.
Миколай, молися із нами, благаєм тебе зі сльозами.
Ми тя будем вихваляти, ім'я твоє величати,
Миколаю.
Ой, хто, хто, ой, хто, хто, Миколая любить.
And another song of the season, Ой, хто, хто, Миколая любить, Who Loves Saint Nick, by Ukrainian group Jedala. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page, and do follow our blog. Нажами вже скінчила нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим, я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Веселости там ніколи немає, де народ страдає. And our proverb of the week translates as happiness is not found in a suffering nation. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have a song that will kick off Ukrainian Christmas programming on Nash Holos for this season, and that will be for the next 4 weeks or so. We'll wrap things up with a segue from one cultural world to another. And we have Yuri Hnatkowski and Julia Lord with Mikolai Krakuje do nas. I don't think I'll need to translate that for you. So on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.
Краще не плач, просто чекай, зимою до нас прийде Миколай. Миколай крокує до нас. Він список вже склав, перевірив не раз. Ось настане святковий час, і Миколай крокує до нас. Коли ти спиш, він бачить, все знає від батьків. Чи чемний, чи не чемний був, він записує собі. Тож часу не гай, сил не втрачай, зимою до нас прийде Миколай. Миколай крокує до нас.
Сидіть, чекай, подарунки свої.
Мішок Миколай вже наповнить і встиг.
Миколай крокує до нас.
Дівчата і хлопці слухняні були.
Щоб і Миколай самі там вони.
Миколай крокує до нас. Ялинка у кімнаті, прикрасимо ж її. Наповнять радістю весь дім святкові ці вогні. Тож краще не плач, просто чекай, скоро до нас прийде Миколай.
Миколай крокує, Миколай крокує, Миколай крокує.